children's program like this. And I know I say allow, you know, we do all these things here, and we put up this sign, and we take out the choir and all of that. And honestly, I have not heard one complaint about it, and I appreciate that very much. And if we have any complaining about it, I've not heard it, and would prefer not to. So if you're going to complain, let's see, who should you see? See Shane. That's he volunteered, and he is certainly not as nice as I am, and so he is the head of the complaint department, and that's just wonderful. Amen. But no, seriously, I tell you, it is a wonderful time. I'm going to put these ribbons to the side, and that way I can keep them nice and not mess them up when we start preaching here in just a moment. But when I think about Vacation Bible School, it really is near and dear to my heart, and it's one of my favorite weeks of the year. Because it's the week that my childish behavior gets excused. And it only happens one week of the year that it's excused. My childish behavior continues throughout the rest of the year, but it's excused during this week in particular. But I'm grateful for it and grateful for our church that just gets behind it with everything you've got. And thank you for that. You know, and I told you earlier, I think it's what Jesus would do. Maybe do it a little bit different, of course, in his day. But we have a time with it. And I think of D.L. Moody. Do you know the name D.L. Moody? Dwight Moody ran all kinds of people to, won all kinds of people to the Lord throughout the world. Of course, right there in Chicago, Illinois, of course, Moody Bible Institute, if you've heard of that. But late in D.L. Moody's life, he made a statement that is really one of the most profound statements I've ever heard. He was well into his 80s, and he said this. He said, if I could live my life over and start over, he said, I would give my entire life to do nothing but work with children. That says something, doesn't it? Said, if I had to do it all over again, and I'm talking about somebody that literally saw over 1 million people come to know Christ through his ministry, said he would, if he had to do it all over again, would do nothing but work with children. And children are important, and I want you to understand the importance of children and children's ministry. And because I tell you, we're going to read here in just a moment, just some introductory thoughts here. Children are the future. I mean, I know that's cliche when we say it and all of that, but we ought to be concerned when we hear statistics of young people that graduate high school, that have been carried to church for their life, and between the ages of 18 to 25, young people tend to have a tendency to flee from the church. And that really ought not be so. It doesn't have to be so, amen? And we want to continue to teach and to instruct children to love the Lord their God with all their hearts, their minds, and their soul for their entire life. Amen? And we need people like you to help us with this. And so I want to look at a few verses here in Mark chapter number 10, just a few, and we'll make a few comments, and then we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning. But the Bible says in verse number 13, it says, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. For I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. I want to preach a message entitled this morning, very simple, Let's Be Like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you, and I am so grateful to be in this church, and Father, to be a part of such a loving congregation. And Father, I pray this morning that as we really begin Vacation Bible School this morning, God, may we understand the purpose, and may we understand the heart of your Son that he had for children. And Father, that we would just love this week, that we would love on these children, and that we would show them your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, while we can't show them physically, Father, may we show them spiritually, and may they see the light of your Son in and through each and every adult's life here this week, that they too would want to be more like Jesus. And Father, again, we pray for those that do not know your Son as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, that as the gospel is presented, that they might come to that saving knowledge. For those that do know, may their relationship with you and their walk with you be strengthened. May they be encouraged this week to love you more. And God, that you would just use each and every adult that comes through and helps, and whether it's making a meal or taking children from class to class, or bus drivers, or all in between, Father, teachers and Bible memory verse listeners and registration folks, God, those that work in the nursery, God, all in between, would you just bless each one of them? Just give them perseverance throughout this week, and strengthen their hands, strengthen their mind for the work. Father, that the battles would be few. And God, that we would just do all of these things to honor and glorify you with our lives. Help us in Jesus' name, we pray, and we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. So when we come to Mark chapter 10, we come here and we begin to see what is taking place. Now, I want to start off right off the bat here with verse number 13, as the Bible says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them, or rebuked those that brought them. And so I want you to see first off the purpose of their coming. The purpose of their coming. Well, I mean, you can't get much clearer than what it says right here in verse number 13. It says that they brought young children to him. All right, now, they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Now, we know Jesus. We've seen Jesus all throughout the gospel, and we know what he did as a ministry. He traveled from location to location. And nearly every time Jesus went to a new location, he would go and begin healing people. He would begin blessing people. He would just do miracle after miracle. And people wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to see that. They wanted to be blessed by him. And we see different things taking place. But there's one thing here in verse number 13, because we're picking up in the middle of the chapter, is it's very important to figure out, first of all, who they were. Right? I mean, who are these people that are bringing these children to Jesus? Now, in order for us to know that, we have to go back a little ways and figure out exactly what the context is within this passage. So when you go back to verse number 2, the Bible says, the Pharisees came to him and asked him. They said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? Tempting him. And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him, saying, or asked him again of the same matter. And he saith unto them, Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and shall be married to another, she committeth adultery. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. All right, so we have a little bit more context here as to what's taking place. So what we have here is the Pharisees came to Jesus. Jesus had come to town, and they're having a conversation with him. They're trying to tempt him and trying to entrap him, as they have many, many times before. And so they are having this conversation, and my goodness, what a deep theological question, right? I mean, we're talking about some deep, deep stuff here. And so they're going through this. Jesus gives the answer. But notice verse number 10. The Bible says, And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. So Jesus and his disciples, they're there. They're in this conversation with the Pharisees. And then they end the conversation with the Pharisees. And they go to the house. Now, how many of you look forward to going to the house? I mean, you know, church is going to be over in just a little while, and you're going to go to the house, right? Some of you are going to go to the restaurant, and that's fine, but after you go to the restaurant, you're probably going to go to the house. And so Jesus and his disciples, they went to the house. Now remember, the Bible says in other passages that Jesus didn't really have his own house. He said that his stone in the wilderness was his pillow, but when they were in certain locations, they would go and they would stay with people. And so here is a time that Jesus and his disciples are going and they're staying with people. But I want you to notice something that is taking place here. When they go into the house, his disciples asked him again of the same manner. And Jesus said unto them, Who shall put away his wife and marry another? So he gives the answer. And they brought your children to him. I want you to picture this scene. You need to picture this in your mind. Okay? Jesus and his disciples are having a very important meeting. It's important. They needed to know these things. They wanted to know these things. They're questioning Jesus. They're trying to learn. We would call it, since they were disciples, we would probably call it like discipleship class. Okay? So they're having discipleship class, and Jesus is teaching. And then it appears that these people that were in the house, whether it was the owners of the house, whether it was relatives of people in the house, but while they were in the house, they brought young children to him. And so we see the purpose, we've already discovered that, it was that they would be blessed by Jesus. They wanted Jesus to bless the children. And so we see the purpose of their coming. Secondly, I want you to notice the perception of the disciples. The perception of the disciples. It's important to note here that while the Bible says they brought these young children to him, that he should bless or touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. So here we have, we don't know how many children it was. We don't know how many people were bringing them. But we know Jesus had 12 disciples. And so obviously it was a rather large house that they were staying in. And there were children there in the house. And there were others in the house with them. And so we see this perception of the disciples. And we notice that they were extremely bothered. And very likely because their discipleship class was being interrupted. Now how many of you are with me? Okay, so here they are. They're wanting to learn from Jesus. And they're asking him all these questions, and Jesus is giving some instructions. And these people come in, and they have children with them, and they want Jesus to bless them. Now, we don't know exactly what the disciples said, but we know they said they rebuked them. That is to chide, to restrain, or try to silence. That's what rebuke means. So we know that chide is not a pleasant thing. If you get chided, you know it. Amen? mean, you know when you've been chided. So you know when you've been rebuked in this. And they were bothered by this so much so that they're rebuking those that brought them. Now, again, I don't know exactly what they said. I don't know that there's a way to know. But I can imagine the spirit in which it was done. You know, so you're picturing Jesus, his disciples around him, and they're intently listening, and then the doors open, or they start bringing these children in, and again, whether it was, we know it was more than one, whether it was two or five or 20, we don't know, but we know it was more than one child, otherwise it would have said child. And so the door opens, and here are these people, whether they're carrying the children or whether the children just run in, the disciples get a little bit out of shape. Can't come in here right now. This is not the time for you. We're busy. Leave us alone. Come back later. Again, I don't know what they said, but I know they rebuked them. And so I'm just imagining in my head what I would have said if I were the one there and I was listening to Jesus and these snotty little kids start coming in. Not the time for you. Y'all go away. Come back later. We're busy right now, right? We're busy right now. This is man stuff. Go. Whatever it was. And their perception was that they were doing the right thing. I mean, now consider this for a moment. You say, how do you know they thought they were doing the right thing? Well, most people don't set out to do the wrong thing, usually. Sometimes, in some rare cases, in, you know, some rebellious times, we know what the right thing is and we refuse to do it. That's something totally different. They were here. Jesus was talking. They're learning from him. Children are coming in to a place where children aren't supposed to be. And so they thought they were doing the right thing. They thought that they were bothered, and it's very likely that they thought it was going to bother Jesus. Because he's the one that was teaching. He's the one that was being interrupted. Yes, their learning was being interrupted, but we're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the Christ. We're talking about the one that's doing all of these miracles, and when he speaks, boy, we ought to listen. Amen. And I think we would all agree with that when Jesus is speaking. Hey, we need to pay attention. We need to sit up straight. We need to find out what he has to say. And we see this perception of the disciples, and they thought that Jesus would be bothered as well. So they rebuked them. They told them, no, not right now. So we see the purpose of their coming. They wanted the children to be blessed by Jesus. They wanted to lay hands on him and touch them. We see the perception of the disciples. They were bothered. They thought Jesus would be bothered. Number three, though, I want you to notice the posture of the Savior. Notice the posture of the Savior. It says they rebuked those that brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now, the disciples were correct that Jesus was bothered. It was just who he was bothered by. He wasn't bothered by the children. He wasn't bothered by the people bringing the children. He was bothered by the disciples. He was bothered by the spiritual ones. Come on. That's who he was bothered by. And we see his posture here. The Bible says he was much displeased. Again, the irritation didn't come from the children. It came from the disciples. And in his posture, as he was displeased, I don't know the tone of voice that Jesus used here with his disciples. We know the disciples rebuked those people. But I can see Jesus speaking very kindly here to his disciples. As we see in his posture, we see also the principle of the Savior. He said this in verse number 14. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God." So first off, he said, suffer the children to come. That simply means, and suffering the children to come simply means to allow, to permit, and not hinder. He goes beyond that. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me. He says, allow them. He says, don't hinder them. Let them come freely to me. But then he also says, and forbid them not. That means, again, do not hinder, do not obstruct, and do not prohibit them from coming to me. And forbid them not, for such, of such, is the kingdom of God. For of such, the kingdom of God. He said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. That for of such, that childlike faith. What is it about a child that makes them so different from us? What is it? Well, typically what I've come to learn is I know everything and they don't. Right? Well, we have a lot of adults in here tonight, this morning. Just feels like night. You know, let's see. Elijah, stand up for me. Come on, real quick. Just stand up. How old are you? 14. 14. All right. Now, how many of you, be real here, okay? I want you to tell the truth. This is Elijah. He's 14. How many of you know more than Elijah knows? We even got 12-year-olds raise their hand. I'm sorry. All right. Now, some of you are being real nice. You don't know how much Elijah knows or doesn't know. But in just normal, you know, I'm 39, I've learned probably more than Elijah knows. Now, there's probably some things Elijah knows that I don't know, right? You think? Can you tell me something that you know that I don't know? No? It's possible. It's possible that he doesn't. I know that's why some of you, you wouldn't raise your hand in that. Thank you, Elijah. I appreciate that. You know, he's 14. Now, if I had, thank you, you can sit down. If I had a six-year-old up here, they're all in the back, and I said, how many of you know more than this six-year-old? How many of you would raise your hand? All right. Very good. We're getting there. We're getting somewhere. All right. Good. If I had a two-year-old in here, how many of you would raise your hand and say, I definitely know more than a two-year-old? All right. Very good. All right. We're getting there. What is it that separates children from adult? Is it just our knowledge? Experience. Experience is a wonderful teacher, isn't it? Oh, sometimes it can be a harsh teacher as well. I would much rather, and young people, listen to this seriously, you would much rather learn from someone else's experience and the mistakes they make than have to make them yourself. Amen. And I've done both, as a matter of fact. I've learned from other people's experiences, and I've learned from my own, and my goodness, my own have really raked me over. You know, those own experiences. But you don't have to learn from your own experience. You can learn from somebody else's experience. But when you experience from their, when you learn from their experience, you're still experiencing. Amen? Just not experiencing it personally. But we have this idea of knowledge, and we have this idea of experience. How about exposure? You know, adults are typically exposed to a whole lot more than a child is. And sometimes that exposure begins to dull that spiritual sense of things. And it begins to sometimes sear the conscience, and it sometimes begins we find ourselves being very skeptical. Now I know I tend to be a little skeptical in nature. Any other skeptics in the room that you're willing to admit it? Good, good, some of you. But we just get skeptical. We hear something and we're like, prove it. You know, a child, man, you can tell a kid almost anything. And they're like, really? You know, some of you remember, most of you remember Brother Scott. He had short arms. Sometimes the kids, he would always mess around with them, and they would ask him, they're like, how'd you get short arms? He said, I didn't eat my vegetables. their eyes would get big. And be like, what? Eating their vegetables when they get home, right? And, you know, just funny stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, if you told Catherine that, yeah, I didn't eat my vegetables, she's like, oh, shut up. Now Kevin, he'd be like, really? He's eating Brussels sprouts. And but children, not that they're gullible, not anything like that, they're just somewhat innocent. Now, they have a sin nature just like you and I have, but they haven't experienced sin like you and I have. And so when Jesus says that the kingdom of God is for such a childlike faith, that when we hear that Jesus died to save us, that He rose again the third day, that we ought to just, oh, all right, I believe that. But I'll tell you, the skeptic in us, though, says, we see this principle of the Savior. He said, suffer the children. Suffer, allow them to come. And whosoever receives and embraces, admits, accepts, and welcomes. That's what He's talking about when He says, whosoever. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Do you embrace the things of Jesus? Do you embrace them? Do you welcome them? Do you admit them into your life? Or do you say, no, not today, busy, excuse me, can you not see what's going on here? Too much in my life. Jesus said, no, suffer. Little children, we see the purpose of their coming. They wanted to be blessed. We see the perception of the disciples. Man, were they bothered. And they thought Jesus was going to be bothered. And He was. And we see His posture. He was displeased with the disciples. We see the principle. He said, suffer. But I want you to notice the passion. The passion of the Savior. In verse number 16, the Bible says, and He took them up in His arms and put His hands upon them and blessed them. What a lovely scene, isn't it? Again, stop for a moment. Think. The disciples and Jesus, man, they've just had an encounter with the Pharisees. And when you have those types of encounters, man, it can really get the adrenaline pumping. I mean, they're flowing. They come into the house. They're starting to settle down a little bit. And the disciples are asking Jesus questions. And here these children come barging in and interrupting. And, no, you can't come in. Get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. And Jesus says, no. Suffer them. Come. When they come, He picks them up in His arms. And He does exactly what they wanted Him to do. He blessed them. When I read through this earlier this week and I saw this idea about the interruption, the children were interrupting what the disciples were doing. That was the problem. It made me stop and think about, you know, this week we're going to get interrupted. I mean, we're not having service tonight. We're having Bible time. That's an interruption. We're not going to have a midweek service this week because we're going to be interrupted by the children. You know what? Some of you are going to be here every night this week. And again, I say thank you. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to interrupt you. I mean, because you're not usually here every night through the week. The children are going to be loud. You're going to get a headache. And your whole week is going to get interrupted. And you're going to have one of two responses. You can either respond like a disciple. He said, I thought a disciple was a good thing. Well, read the passage again. You can either respond like a disciple, or we can respond like the Savior. It's up to you. I wish I could respond for you, but I can't. You have to respond for yourself. You see, Jesus welcomed the interruption. Jesus said, suffer them, but please bring them. That ought to be our response this week. Please bring them. Yes. Yes. Bring them. I will gladly have my week interrupted by the children, because it's what Jesus did. He said, I don't like children. I will pray for you. Seriously. Because Jesus loved them and welcomed the interruption. And I'm not saying this because I feel like y'all have this response or anyone does. I just feel like, you know, maybe at one point through the week you might. It's possible. But welcome the interruption. And again, I thank you so much for already doing so. During a week of VBS and NBT, the Holy Spirit of God will move and work upon the hearts of boys and girls, and you'll see it. And when things like that happen, there's this roaring lion that seeks and roams about and tries to stir things up. This is, oh goodness, probably my, I think I'm upwards of about 30 VBSs by now in my ministry days. And I've seen it every time. Something happens to someone or a family or an individual, and you're going to be interrupted. Let's respond like Jesus. Whether it's an interruption from the children or an interruption from somewhere else, let's respond like Jesus. You can. We call ourselves Christians, which is to be Christ-like. What better time to start than now? To be like Jesus. Let's welcome it. Let's embrace it. Let's accept it. Let's welcome it. He blessed them. That's what the Bible says. He blessed them. When we do so, we too will be blessed. The children will be blessed. We will be blessed. Oh, what a day. Because we can either, again, the Bible doesn't really tell us what the disciples' reaction was, but I can only imagine. I mean, I know what it's like to be rebuked. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's one thing to rebuke a child. It's another thing to rebuke an adult. When you have to rebuke an adult or be rebuked as an adult, oh, it can be embarrassing. Jesus said, suffer the little children. Let them come in. And he takes them up in his arms, and they're loving them. And I can just picture some of the disciples going, oh, stupid, stupid, stupid. You know. Let's be like Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. He blessed them. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do something, because this is a very, very important week. We have revival services for our church and missions conference, and we have, you know, guest preachers that come in, and we want to get recharged and preached to and taught and get, you know, just get fired up through it. And I'll tell you, this week is a revival meeting for our young people. It's what it is. And it's just as important of a week that we would have a revival for adults. It's just for children. We need to pray for that. You can come. You can use the altar in just a moment when the piano begins to play, if you choose to. But pray for this week. Because God is going to be at work in the lives of these young people, and Satan's going to try to interrupt it. And we need somebody to stand in the gap for them and be on your knees in prayer that they would hear and respond to the calling of God. Father, have your way during this time. May this entire congregation be on their knees before you throughout this week. 6:30 every night, may we be conscious of what is taking place here, whether we're in the building, out of the building, wherever we may be throughout this city. At 6:30, may we pray for these children. May we pray for these young people, that they would hear from you. God, I thank you for giving us passages of Scripture such as this, that we can see the heart of your Son, and that we can see some application in our own lives. May we receive it. May we be like Jesus. Help us today, throughout this week, as we yield ourselves to you to be used for your honor and your glory. Help us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As we stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Stephen is singing, the piano is playing. You can respond if you choose to. Nobody's looking around. Just be in an attitude of prayer that folks would, that children would hear the gospel, they would respond to it. Folks are moving. Folks are praying all over the room to see what God would do in a life of a child, a teenager. Don't miss it. You can use the altar. You can pray at your seat. But pray. Going with them.
I'll go with
yes.
him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him
all the way.
I'll go with him through the judgment.
Yeah.
I'll go with him judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him always.
As the piano continues to play and folks continue to finish up here at the altar, I tell you, this is an important week. Very important, because lives will be changed. And you know the thing is, your life can be changed. Amen. Let's sing that first verse one more time. Everybody lift your voice if you know the words. Hear them.
Your calling, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow, follow me.
Amen. All God's people said? Amen. Amen. All right, 6 o'clock tonight. Doors will open. Children will be coming. We'll get them registered. Teachers will be ready. And remember, this is neighborhood Bible time. There's little few things you need to know. If somebody says, what time is it? What do you say?
Bible time!
All right, very good. You've got it down well. Very, very good. All right, Asher and Alec are going to go back to this foyer. So if you need help unloading your car with cookies or drinks or anything, if you'll see one of them, they will help you do that. So go ahead and go back there, guys, if you would. Brother Stephen's going to come, dismiss us in our closing hymn, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll be back 6 o'clock, ready to go, and we'll have a great, great time tonight. I need to see you right after.
Hymn number 17, just that chorus, living he loved me, dying he saved me, burying he carried my sin far away. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Amen. You are dismissed.